little bit more granular or specific in two types of prayers. And our title today is Thanksgiving Completes Our Faith in Prayer. Thanksgiving completes our faith in prayer. Everybody say it with me. Thanksgiving completes our faith in prayer. All right, we'll start out with our opening scriptures here in 1 Corinthians 5:57. It says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Everybody read that with me again. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we found and discovered that victory is a grace that God gives, and grace represents all that God has given and provided and promised for us. It is all that God has given. Grace from God is contains and entails and includes all that God has given, provided, and promised for us. Amen. But faith is how we release that and tap into that and how we receive that. So we say it this way: grace makes, but faith takes. So grace takes what faith takes what grace has made available. God has made available victory for us. And a high expression of faith is thanksgiving. It's one of the highest expressions of faith is to say, "Thank you, Lord, for the victory." Now, this is when you're staring defeat down a barrel hole. When you're staring, looking at four walls around you and closing in upon you, spelled defeat and despair around you, you're saying, "Thank you, Lord, for the victory." So this is a what we call a present tense continuum. So this word, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. And of course, I'm down here, but and then, of course, in 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge toward us in every place." So triumph, that means grace has provided Christ's triumph as your triumph. But you give thanks to activate and appropriate his triumph. When you're going through a trouble, you activate the grace of triumph by you giving thanks. Not after the triumph, but before and during the trouble. Are y'all seeing this? Amen. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." So there's much power, untapped power in thanksgiving. Let me skip back here because I went way down here, so I'm jumping ahead of myself. But let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, "In everything, give what?" So that's the will. It didn't say for everything, but it said in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When it's good, when it's bad, when it's hot, when it's cold, when things are hard, when things are easy, when things seem like very difficult, what's God's will for you? Give thanks. Now, the Amplified lays it a little bit more clearer. Thank God in everything, not for everything, but in everything. Because you'll notice when things get real tenuous or troublesome, sometimes people tend to get muted or muzzled on their thanksgiving. Because they think, "I have nothing to give thanks for." Or they use the other expression, "I don't feel like giving thanks." Hallelujah. But he says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be what? So being thankful, and there's a difference between being thankful and being unthankful. But there's no place in between. There's no place in between thankful and being unthankful. So which one are you? Which one are you when things are heavy, hard, rough, and tough? See, this is a skill set that we have to develop. We got to make sure I'm being thankful in everything. When I'm ready to go home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but you got 2 more hours and it's been a hard day. You have a choice. I'm going to be thankful and ride out those next 2 hours, or I'm going to be unthankful and grumble and complain and then be out of the will of God. Are you listening to me? So he's saying, in everything, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and what? So that means you give. That's a choice. It's a choice to give. It's a choice not to give. You know, Fred just led us through the offering. Our heart should always be giving in the context of love, giving love or forgiving others. Those are two main requirements to live under an open heaven when you're talking about living and walking in love. But in the area of thanksgiving, you have a choice too. From your heart, I got to be thankful and give thanks. Or I can choose to be what? Unthankful and not give thanks. See how it ties into our heart? Right? And so he said, for this is the will of God in you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. So everybody just lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Come on, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So your ultimate goal is to be what? An addicted thanksgiver. Let me just put it in 2025. I'm not talking about addicted to alcohol or addicted to cocaine or addicted to drugs or addicted to, the P word or addicted to social media. I'm talking about addicted to thanks. And even challenge yourself to say, I'm not going to go 15 minutes. So somebody went to lunch with Dad Hagen one time, and they said, you know, he's not a talker. He's very introverted. But he said during the lunch, he said he didn't want to go to lunch alone because, you know, he believes in community. He believes in connection. And some of us need to just grab a hold of that connections and commitment to be in community, it should be a priority, right? Not being by myself, not being isolated or independent. Why? Because when you're isolated and independent, you end up celebrating selfishness and you eliminate God from the equations of your life. That's a good place to say amen. So you have to be thankful. And so Dad Hagen went to one lunch with one of his guys who was, you know, heading up the prayer and healing school. He says, go to lunch. And so he's thinking that he's going to talk and run off at the mouth, but that's not Dad Hagen. But you understand, being around him, you want to be quiet, and you don't want to just be running off the mouth while he's quiet. You honor the presence of your mentors and leaders around you. You don't need to be blabbing, blah, 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 blah. Because some people who run off at the mouth sometimes run out of thanksgiving to give. Amen. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Everybody's still here with me, right? So he said, Dad, he ordered soup, and he ate his soup. But he said, every 10 minutes, he'd eat soup, and he'd just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Addicted thanksgiver. Not going 10 minutes, 15 minutes without saying thank you. And some people in their minds, they say, well, why? God doesn't have to give you reasons why, but just because who he is and what he said, in everything give thanks, you ought to be giving him thanks all the time. Be an addicted thanksgiver. What does it do? It opens you up, your heart particularly, to receive more from God when you say thank you. When you say thank you, praise the Lord. When you say thank you. So we said we all must, in of necessity, cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Everybody say it with me. Cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Now look to somebody next to you and say, you and I have to cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. What does that mean? You're an addicted praise thanksgiver. You don't go 10, 15 minutes without giving thanks. Amen. You keep each other accountable. Say, let's just thank the Lord for a minute. Because sometimes when you're unthankful, you get unholy. What's unholy? I'm not talking about going and committing adultery and killing somebody or doing something really criminal. But in the spiritual side of things, in the Christian life of side of things, we get into unholiness and ungodliness when we begin to talk about people. We begin to talk about them. We begin to gossip concerning things. We're using our mouth for the wrong reasons. Amen. Because in Timothy it says that the sign of the times, one of them, was that people would be unthankful, and then right next to it, unholy. Check it out. In Timothy 3, it talks about the perilous times, hard times come. We're here. But one of the biggest characteristics of people that have been deceived or going not in the way of God is they become unthankful. It says unloving, unforgiving, unthankful, unholy. Kind of like in sequence. Amen. So you got to learn to be thankful. And so one of the ways, too, when you come to church is to thank God I'm at church. Before you put the car in park, you get that park. Thank you for the parking space. Even though you have to stretch your legs maybe and walk a little bit longer, you're thankful. In everything, give what? We get to the hotel. They got the room set up for us. Thank you that we get to gather today. Thank you for everybody that I will see today. Notice Paul writes in his letters, every time I think of you, I give thanks in remembrance of you. Now that's a lifestyle of thanksgiving. When you think about people and just they come across your mind, you don't become unthankful, ungrateful about them. You say, thank you, Lord. You think about your children. You think about your family. They come across your mind. You say what? Thank you, Lord. They may have given you a hard time or maybe given you grief a little bit. But you're saying what? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you brought them into my life. Thank you, Lord, that they're a gift from you. I thank you that you're working your plans and your purpose in and through their life. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody good? All right, let's go to the next slide. Next slide. Thank you, Lord. We'll get stuck on the first one if we do. All right, this is one of our power prayers or power verse, the prayer of commitment. Let's look at it here, Philippians 4:6. It says here, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Okay, that's an imperative. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving. Everybody say with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Your wants known to God. Now, I'm going to read Matthew, what Jesus said in the Amplified Classic Translation. He says to us, "Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life." Everybody say, Jesus is talking. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, what about your body, what you shall put on, is not life greater in quality than food, the body far above and more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Father, Heavenly Father, keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? Everybody say, yes, we are. All right. In verse 27, it says, and who of you by worrying and being anxious can add one cubit or measure cubit to his stature or the span of his life? And verse 28 says, and why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow, how they neither toil nor spin. That means they're not toiling and spinning. In some Christian studies, we would say looping, like a record, old days, old school records that would get caught up on a certain, and it'd keep going on that little same trip. It'd be skipping, right, and just going back. So sometimes we'll do that in a thought life, looping. And of course, he said, yet I tell you, verse 29, even Solomon in all his magnificent, excellent dignity and grace was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is alive and green and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? What are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, heathens, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. But your Heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And all these things taken together will be given unto you, to you besides. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So one of the things we learn from this section of Scripture is that our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be assignment-minded and not provision-minded. Oh, I would write that down. So in other words, don't be thinking about your needs. Don't be thinking about and talking about your needs. It starts the area of what we call worry, anxiousness. Anxious is a Greek word in the New Testament, which means to have your mind divided. In other words, your mind is torn apart by circumstances. It's not like cutting a scissors straight line. It is ripping and tearing it apart. So your mind gets ripped and teared apart. How many of you know you've not been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind? That means your mind is supposed to be sound, balanced, calm. Amen. Calm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so when you worry, there's a problem. You don't have peace. In the Latin or reference, it says worry is temporary atheism. In other words, you act and talk and think like God doesn't exist. Your problem's too big for God to handle, so you're trying to handle it between your ears. And your mind is divided between destructive thoughts and legitimate thoughts. And this is how people go crazy, or they lose their mind, or they panic and they get paranoid in their mind. It's a big problem today. You know how many people on therapy, doing therapy online and in offices, because Christians can't handle the temptation of worry and turn it down? When God put in the Word of God a prayer for all of us to utilize every time the cares of life come in, every time worries and fears get in, every time concerns and anxieties try to settle into our mind, He gave us the prayer of commitment. Everybody say the prayer of commitment. So we see here what we've just read. Jesus told us not to worry. If Jesus tells us not to worry, that's a directive. And so when we worry, we sin. And we let fear and evil get in. So some people not, like I said, people not yielding to drugs and illegal, immoral sex or alcoholism or all that stuff, but they do worry. They worry about their bills. They worry about their needs. They worry about their family members. They worry about life. Jesus said, don't do it. Jesus said, do not worry. But He gave us a solution with the prayer of commitment. He said, give your cares to God. What does He say? Don't fret or anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance, in everything, by prayer. By what? Prayer, definite prayer. With thanksgiving. Continue to make your wants known to God. Why is it such a big deal? See that what highlighted there? Worrying or being anxious is sin and reduces our faith to zero. Then we're out of faith and we're into fear when we worry. And we said what worry is. So Christians who give their worries and cares to God get the what? Peace of God. But you don't get the peace if you're still holding on to your worry. You're holding on to your care. When the problem is worry, the prescription is prayer, the peace of God. That's verse 7. And proper thinking. That's in verse 8. Every one of us should meditate on, internalize, even memorize, and then actualize Philippians 4, 6 through 8. You ought to have it written down on 3x5 card, carry it around with you. Because when the cares of life hit you, you want to be able to, okay, I got to give this to the Lord. I got to give it to the Lord. I can't carry it, because carrying is like carrying contraband. It's spiritually illegal. It's unauthorized to carry worry, to carry cares. Jesus said, don't worry. Do not worry. Everybody say, praise the Lord. So when we carry our cares, casting our cares is humility, but acting in obedience to faith and acting in obedience to faith. Carrying our cares is pride. And He gave us the how to cast it. He said Philippians 4, 6 must be implemented skillfully. Skillfully we implement Philippians 4, 6, but it says with thanksgiving. So God, I give you my cares, fill in the blanks, about this. And I give it to you, Lord, by faith in Jesus' name. You don't look for your feelings to change. You look for faith to follow through. Faith following through says, thank you. Thank you. Because faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. See, doubt despairs, worries, complains, and is sad. I'll say it again. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Doubt despairs, worries, complains, and is sad. How do I know I'm completing my faith with the prayer commitment? I'm saying, God, I give you my cares. I give it to you, Lord. And I thank you for taking care of them. And I get glad. I stop being sad. I stop crying tears. Oh, yeah, I cry tears sometimes. Sometimes I'm cutting the grass. I'm crying tears. Lord, this is it. This is a big deal. Oh, I'm cutting grass. That's when I talk to God a little bit sometimes in other places. I said, oh. He said, give it to me. Your shoulders can't handle that. Your life can't handle that. Guess what your load limit? He reminded me. My load limit is zero. Zero cares. Zero worries. Zero concerns. I'm supposed to be carefree. Worry-free. Anxiety-free. Most Christians carrying around their concerns, all blocked up. But what is it doing? It's reducing your faith to zero. And while my faith gets reduced to zero, my prayers are hindered, they don't work, and I can't grasp or grip the promises of God. And I won't get the peace. I'm not solving the problem, I'm causing the problem to hang around. Everybody say, cast your cares on the Lord. Look what it says here. if we have it, God doesn't have it. And he can't take care of it if we're still carrying the care. Look what it says. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting what? The whole of your care. All of your what? How many is all? Everything that's got your mind torn. Got you staying up at night. Got you despairing. That's doubt, right? Doubt despairs, worries, complains, and is sad. Faith does what? Rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. So if I'm in faith, I'm a rejoice. All this thing is crawling all over you. But you start rejoicing in what? I can give my cares to the Lord. I can give my worries to God. I can give my concerns and fears to the Lord. And I heard the Holy Ghost just say this, the Holy Spirit just say this. He says, some of you have been worrying yourself sick over your kids. Stop it. Stop it right now. Make the correction. Make the adjustment. Repent before God and the people you've been telling other people about your children. In front of God. Amen. And repent of your disobedience and pride. Amen. And God will take care of it when you give it to him. He'll take care of it when you give it to the Lord. Come on, let's just thank God for that. He's not sitting there absentee. He's not got a blind eye and thinking, well, I'll just let you care about that. I'll just take care of the big stuff. Jesus said he knows the number of grasses in the field and he knows the sparrows that fall, the birds that fall out of the sky. He said, consider them. He said, you're more valuable than sparrows and grass and lilies in the field. You're more valuable than that. He cares about you much more than that. Yet he knows them, that the lilies of the field and the birds in the air. He knows them, every one of them that falls. He knows the number of hair follicles you have on your head. He cares for you. But he said, give them to me. That's something you have to make a choice to give it to the Lord. Ooh, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. He said, cast the whole of your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. Is that clear enough? Once and what? For all on him, for he what? Cares for you affectionately. He cares about you watchfully. Isn't that good? See, when you become bored, your mind begins to wander. Everybody say, don't have a wandering mind. You know, it's not a Bible verse, but idleness is not a good thing from Scripture. When your mind's idle, I'm bored. Uh-oh, don't say it and don't participate in the enemy's thing because he wants to get your mind to wander. You lose focus. God wants us to live intentional lives. You know, one of the words for amusement, one of the definitions of amusement or entertainment in the context of entertainment, amusement, is not to think. When you don't think, you make mistakes. So when your mind is boredom, when boredom and complacency sets in, your mind begins to wander. Boredom and complacency means I've lost my focus and I've lost my press. And so I don't press anymore to move forward with my faith, to grow up spiritually. Your mind wanders. And that's why people got so many games, because they feel like I have no work to do. I'm bored. It matters what you're doing with all your free time. Praise the Lord. Now, I didn't say you had to be in the corner, kneel down, and praying in tongues for 10 hours a day. No. But your mind, you need to understand what your mind is going to think about, what you're thinking about. When your mind becomes bored and complacent, your mind begins to wander. What does that fuel? Doubts, distractions, and distrust in you. Because the devil wants to get you on the side of your feelings. Remember, we said it last week, beware of the snare. Everybody say, beware of the snare. That means he wants you to wallow in self-pity. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. I'm all alone. House full of people. I'm all alone. Your mind's wandering. Stop it. Is this good preaching? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Stop being bored and complacent because you lost your press. Without a press, there's no prize. Amen. And when you become burdened with cares, pressures, and problems, your mind begins to worry. That's another big problem. When he's putting pressure on your mind, pressure through circumstances or pressure through persecution, people talking about you or saying bad things, ugly things, you start thinking about it, mulling it over, and it begins to burden your mind. That's when worry and anxiety kicks in, the cares of life kick in. You got to know how to pivot and deal with that. Give it to the Lord. You don't want to encroach the line and cross the line into worry and anxiety. Y'all getting something out of this today? And when your mind becomes bitter and bothered with a wound, spiritual, mental, or emotional hurt, the lie, the sin that grieving and gripping your heart, you get wicked. Hurting people hurt other people. Everybody say, I got it. My mind is my mind. But God gave the maintenance of your mind, the management of your mind and your thoughts to you. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world. The world gets bored. The world talks about them bored. The world wants to chill out and complacent. They always want to take pictures when they're on vacation and happy. Nobody takes pictures of them leading somebody to Christ or sometimes doing the ministry. There's very little pictures. People just want laying around having fun. So people think lay around having fun is what life is all about. No. We're here for God, right? And we have fun doing that and others. Praise the Lord. So we're not supposed to be bored. So our mind begins to want to. We're not supposed to be bothered or burdened. So we just start worrying, and we're not supposed to be bitter, and then we don't get wicked. Wicked means we have twisted thinking. We think people are out to get us. People mean to do us harm or mean us not to do us well. You're pre-wired for love, not for hatred. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So our Lord is expecting us to be thankful, appreciative, value his word, his will, and his work. When we cast our cares on the Lord, we do it with thanksgiving. So when you give your cares to the Lord, something comes up this week, you say, Lord, thank you. I give you my cares. Thank you for taking care of it. Now, don't take it back. I've done that. I've taken it back 5 times in one day. I found it back in there. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I took it back. I give it back to you. And I thank you for taking care of it. Then I can go to sleep. Hallelujah. Next slide, guys. Next slide. So the prayer of commitment includes these verses. I'm going to have you write them down. I'm not going to read them because of the sake of time. But just write them down. These are the mechanics or the details of the prayer of commitment. Or in other words, the prayer of casting your cares on the Lord. So just write it or take a picture of the slide. So you have to give it to the Lord. Everyone needs to become very skillful and developed in casting your cares. Because if you're carrying them, that's pride. That means, God, you can't handle the stuff I'm going through. I've got to try to handle it myself. I got to take care of it myself. The casting of your care is an act of faith, which is also an act of humility. He told us to give our cares to God. So if we don't do it, we're acting in pride and obstinance and disobedience to God's word. All right, next slide. Next slide. So everybody in the Christian life has three circles. We call them the three circles. Everybody say three circles. So you have the what? Your personal prayer life. You have the worry circle. You have the prayer circle and the thanksgiving circle. So when the circumstances of life, the crisis of life, the trials and tests of life come to you, they come to all of us, right? So they first get here to the worry circle. They try to get in. But the scriptures you just wrote down tell us you have to stop it and say nothing gets in the worry circle. So when you go to bed at night, you want to check and make sure nothing's in the worry circle. Everything gets in the prayer circle, in everything by prayer and supplication or definite request. So he's telling you everything is a go in the prayer circle. You got to pray about everything. Worry about nothing, but pray about everything. And if you have good faith friends, they say, but did you pray about that first? Come on, let's pray about that. Let's get it to the Lord. Amen. And then in everything is the Thanksgiving circle. We can't complete our faith in prayer without saying thank you. Thank you, Lord. You know, you're going into a surgery or some hospital procedure, and sometimes, you know, you're dealing with people, and as a pastor, sometimes I deal with patients, they start getting concerned about the surgery or the operation or procedure. No, let's give it to the Lord. Let's give the care of it over to the Lord first. So some people want me to come in and rush and pray for their help and healing and successful surgery. No, you worried. We got to stop at this prayer first. There's 11 different types of prayers in the New Testament. This is just one of them. This is a big one, though. Sometimes we say we got to get the care. When we talk about people, sometimes ask me, pray for my finances. Well, you're worried about it. You're concerned about your needs. And so we skip this prayer and go right to try to play for finance. Your faith is already at zero. Zero faith means zero results. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. It's the prayer of faith that pulls the promises in. And faith what? Rejoices, gives thanks, and is what? Glad. So when you give the cares, you say, thank you. Thank you for taking care of that. And then you continue to say thank you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So Dad Higgins tells a story about when the time he was on the bed of sicknesses, he had three incurable blood diseases, a deformed heart, and partial paralysis. He couldn't move anything from the waist down. He was a teenager, 16, 17 years old, and he was bedfast. Four medical specialists and doctors had given him up to live, to die. And he got mad and angry. So some people get angry. They said, how come God's not doing anything? how come my faith is not working? He said, well, first of all, you know, he told him he did believe because he threw his grandma's method by. He said, I do believe. He said, you do believe as far as you know. And he had to repent of what? Being discouraged. He had to repent of disobeying Matthew 6, because he said every time he read Matthew says and said, Lord, I can't do that. I can't not worry. My grandmother was a worrier. My mother was a worrier. They were both world champion worriers. So they kind of passed it down to me. I can't do that. But he had to repent before the Lord for worrying. And he had to repent for doubting God. Because doubt does what? Despairs, worries, complains, and is sad. Is this plain enough for everybody this morning? And so he made the adjustment, did the repenting, and then he said, I believe I received my healing of my deformed heart. He says, his heart beat like a, and his blood was orange, not red. That's how the blood disease, the different corpuscles didn't work. The cells didn't work right. They didn't have enough. So he said, even if your heart made it, your blood diseases alone would kill you. He had a death sentence over his life. And he said, I believe I received my healing of my deformed heart. I have a good heart. I believe I receive my healing. He's praying, prayer of faith, Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And then he said, I believe I receive my healing. I take my healing for my three incurable blood diseases. I believe I receive my healing for my partial paralysis. And he said, just in case I forgot anything, I believe I receive my healing from the top of my head to the toes of my feet. Then the Holy Spirit came in and helped him. He said, If you believe that you received when you prayed, you would thank me for it. And so without anybody listening or anybody teaching them this from a church, because he went to a Baptist church at the time, they didn't teach Thanksgiving. They didn't teach praise. They didn't do that stuff in church. He said, without anybody teaching me, he said, I lifted both of my hands in the bed, because I only can move my upper part of my body. He lifted and began to thank the Lord. And it was during that Thanksgiving that his faith completed that prayer that he sensed the power of God hit him. He said it felt like honey hit him on the forehead and ran all the way through his body, oozed all over his body. He said, and then within 10 minutes, he's standing up praying. He hadn't walked in 16 to 18 months. He hadn't walked at all, was bedfast. He stood, was standing up praising God and thanking God. But what was the key? The Holy Spirit helped me say, if you believe that you received when you prayed, you would thank me for it. So some people run in prayer and say, God, give me this. God, I need this. I claim this. And they walk out and they forget to say, thank you. Are y'all here? Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's what you got to do when you pray in faith. Thank you. The Bible says in the Psalms, in Psalms 119, that big chapter, long chapter, it says David prayed three times a day, but he gave thanks seven times a day. One last story. We're going to close, okay? This lady in prayer was praying, God, heal me, help me. And then she saw a vision of two scales. And then on those two scales, she saw her prayers weighed down heavy, like bricks. They were, the scales were like overloaded. The other side of the scale was a feather. That was her thanksgiving and her praise. Had one feather on it. And the Lord appeared to her in that dream when she saw those scales. She said, when your thanksgiving and praise outweighs your petition, then I'll heal you. So she had to double up and triple up on her thanksgiving and praise. Somebody said, praise the Lord. There was a lady in England who had she was from England. I think she was from England, but she was over here. But she had broke out in smallpox and hundreds of them around her body. And the Lord told her, he said, first lay down every weapon of rebellion. And that means she had to not be stubborn and obstinate to do what God told her. Sometimes we have to yield to the Holy Spirit, right? And so the Holy Spirit told her, the Lord told her, he said, now for every pock you see, small pock broke out all over her skin, every pock you see, you thank me and give me praise that you're healed. And the sister that was praying for her came in the room and said, what are you doing? She said, the Lord told me I got to praise and thank him for every little thing that I'm healed. And when I praise him for all the smallpox that have broken out of my body, the healing will be manifest. God wants us to be intentional about our thanksgiving. What's on the other side of our thanksgiving? If we only saw it, we would thank him much more. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We'll pick it up here next week. We got more to cover. Praise God. Did you get something out of the day? Stand to your feet, please. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Lift your hands and praise God and thank God for his word. Come on, be from your heart. What's in our heart? Thanks. Help me to be thankful, Lord. Help us to be thankful and help us to give thanks. Not just because somebody does something nice to us, because somebody did something good to us, but we want to be thanks. We want to give thanks and praise at all times. We want to be intentional. We want to make the choice to rejoice. We want to say thank you, Lord, for the big things and even the small things. We want to say thank you, Lord, each and every day. Before we even get going real good, we want to say thank you, Lord, 10, 15, 20 times in the morning before we get moving. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives individually and in our families. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your shed blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your great, and Father God, for your great plan of redemption. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for the triumphs that are to come. Thank you for the people and the pastors you've set in my life. Thank you.